Well, my text is in the Gospel according to John, to St. John, and it's chapter 14 and verse 27. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a very lovely verse for you this morning and for all of us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter, there is an appeal right through to it, to our hearts. And it should warm our hearts and encourage us as well. It begins in a very similar verse, in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then the text, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They're linked together and they're very lovely. Now, it's a striking statement for two reasons. He's speaking to troubled hearts. And I don't think there can be a century, a year, a month, a day, a place where there are no troubled hearts. That's bound to be so. And for all of us here as well, and anybody, if they stay for a moment and think, yes, I can be all right, maybe at the moment, very troubled. And so our Lord knew us very well and understand our fears and our hopes. And we are troubled for many reasons. Sometimes the circumstances of life. Sometimes our past bothers us. And ashamed of it, maybe. Sometimes our present. And sometimes the fear of the future. And those things can trouble us very often. Other times we are just in the grip of anxiety and we cannot give it a name. And yet we are troubled and we are worried. There are so many that can be lurking in the background that trouble our hearts and souls. Then there's a command here. Do not be troubled. Don't be afraid. Do not be troubled. I don't want you to be like that, our Savior is saying. I don't wish you to be a troubled people or fearful. Now, the command is made with authority and in a very powerful way as well. Now, he promises peace. It's a big promise. Now, is he able to perform it? Peace. And we need to examine what he's saying here. In verse 27, this peace is a legacy. It's something he leaves us. That is, you might say about a person, how much did this rich man leave? What did he leave? What good did he do? What impression had he made? And Jesus Christ said, well, I tell you what I will leave you. I will leave you peace. And I will make it a gift. And it's from me, and it can be yours. So that's the gift we are talking about. Now, in this context here, it is, of course, to those who are going through a troubled time, a difficult time, whichever it may be in their lives. Now, let's look, first of all, the ground of peace. On what authority does he make this? The speaker is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so remember who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He has great authority. He's co-equal with God the Father and co-eternal. So the one that's saying it is very powerful. Sometimes when people say something, you say, oh, who said it? Oh, them. They will forget what they said in a couple of days or an hour or two, but not our Lord. This is a word after 2,000 years for you and for me this morning. Now then, his great mission in this earth, on this earth, was, it's called the Prince of Peace, was to make peace between God and man. So we start there. Before we can talk of the peace we are referring to here, we must talk really of a basis here. And that is, this peace can only be received by a certain people. They must be reconciled to God. They must be at peace with him. Well, how can we be at peace with him? We know ourselves. There's no need to me to say very much, really. When I know people can resent sometimes when you say they have a sinful heart, but they know that they're not what they ought to be. And they know that they can have unkind thoughts and critical thoughts as well, and can be very unkind in many ways. We know that. That's what we are like. We are easily offended. We want our own way. There are all sorts of manifestations of how far we are from God. And also outward sins, they're obvious. But these inward things are more clever and subtle, but they are there. We want to please ourselves. We want our own way. And that's why we do physical sins even. It's a gratification of self. We are so far from God, so far from a very glorious and a holy God. And this God, remember, he has many, many abilities. But there is one he chooses as a crown, and that is his righteousness and his holiness. So from the beginning of the Bible to the end, you'll find one thing true about God. He's pure, he's holy, he is righteous. And so what does that mean? Well, I can't have any relationship with a person like that because his purity is so perfect. How could I ever draw near to him, this great creator? Well, his creation, yes, that's wonderful. But to believe in the creator himself and say, one day I meet him, and I have to meet him, whether I believe in him or don't believe in him, whether I'm agnostic or an atheist or a believer, we all have to meet him. We all have to stand before our creator. And what will we have to say? In this life, we are so very far from God. Yet, he's ordained a way where we might come to him. And when he comes on that final day, instead of meeting him as a judge and condemning us forever, we'll meet him as a father. And can there be anything more beautiful than that, to say, I'm going home now. I'm going home to my father. Not, I dread the judgment, and I shall meet God as judge. There's a vast difference between one of the two. Shall I meet him as my father? Now, you might say, a soul can be in great trouble unless he has prepared himself for that. In the Gospel of Luke, he puts it like this, how seriously we should take it, in chapter 12, verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. What does he mean by that? Well, men may kill us. That's all they can do. But God can bring our life to an end, but that's not the end. Then we meet the consequences of our life and what we are. He said, you need to fear God and to consider God, and don't leave the thought of God out of your thinking and out of your mind. Now then, the greatest kindness that can ever be done for people who are so far away is to be at peace with God. There can't be any greater kindness than that. So I'm talking to you this morning about lovely things, kind things, things that should encourage us or confirm us in our happiness. Christ stands in my place for the sinner. Christ has qualifications. He is without sin. That is, when he was here on earth, there never came to his mind an unkind thought, an unclean thought, a critical thought. None of these came to him. In his heart, there were no motives that were evil. In his action, there was nothing but purity. That's our Savior, and he's the Son of God. Now, he comes to help us. He says, I will take your place. And he does it in this way. How can you help me? Well, how much do you owe? Well, I owe a great deal. The wages of sin is death, and that's eternal death. Well, how can you help me, Lord? Well, I can take that. I can take it off you. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you how. Your sins are put on me as if I had committed them. Little sins, great sins, outward ones, secret ones, all of them puts on me. Why should you do that, Lord? Because God so loved the world that he gave me to help you. That's why. And what will you do? Well, there's a punishment. It will be on the form of a cross. And I will have a physical punishment, and it will be horrendous and terrible. But that will not be the big punishment, bad as that will be. The worst will be the Father whom I love must punish me for your sin. He'll turn his back on me. And that can be nothing worse than that. But he has to do it so that I shall for a while be on my own, and I shall be paying what is equal to hell for your sin. Now then, if that is true, can there be anything greater than that? If that is not true, how helpless and hopeless our situation is. The best we can do is say, well, I believe in annihilationism. When I die, I go snuff out like a little candle. Yes, that'll be very easy. But you have a soul, and your soul cannot die. And you know you have a soul, because what is it? It's the you. This little body changes, and we do change, and we do deteriorate, and we age. All these things happen. But I suppose we feel it very deeply because we are still there, the same person, the same inside, you. It cannot age. It cannot die. It's the immortal soul. So I say to myself, well, yes, if that is true, and it is true, and I live after death, and I haven't prepared myself for God, then what will my lot be? What did you say, Jesus? I said, I will take your sins. I'll take you altogether as you are, the pride of your heart, your arrogance. I'll take it all on me. I'll not become a sinner, but I'll take the blame, and I'll take the shame, and I'll take the punishment for you. What will happen then? You won't be punished. You'll be received by God. Listen to this lovely hymn. It's by John Elias. I think it's his only hymn, translated well. And was it for my sin that Jesus suffered so, when moved by his all-powerful love, he came to earth below? You know, that brings in for me, for my sin. The holy law fulfilled, atonement now is made, and our great debt, too great for me, he now has fully paid. Now think of that. How much do you owe? As far as sin is concerned, a debt that's too great for me, a debt that's too great for you. Now he takes that, and our great debt, too great for us, he now has fully paid. It's a great relief when an ordinary debt is paid. That's a great relief, but this is greater. He suffered pain and death when on the hill brought low. Look at that expression, on the hill brought low. He suffered pain and death when on the hill brought low. His blood will wash the guilty clean, as pure and white as snow. And here's a startling one. For in his death, our death died with him. That is, our death kind of left us. For in his death, our death died with him on the tree. And a great number by his blood will go to heaven made free. When Jesus bowed his head and dying took our place, the veil was rent, a way was found to that pure home of grace. Now then, it's put very clearly there. He died for me. He paid a debt I would be eternally paying, eternally paying. He paid a debt that I need not pay. My debt has been paid in full. And Christ offers to God what he's done for us. And God is satisfied, fully satisfied. He doesn't require any more. He's fully satisfied. He has made peace with God for us. And so we can say, Christ said, my peace, and I have the right to give it to, he has the right to give it to us. So I can say now, I have the peace of God in my heart. Why? I am a forgiven sinner. My debt is paid in full. My past sins, my present sins, and sadly, my future sins, the debt is paid in full. So in the light of that, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's none of us here this morning that hasn't a debt, and hopefully a debt that has been paid, because we have trusted our souls, our whole being, to the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, have you done that? Search your heart. Now, have you done that? As you can say, I have trusted Jesus. See, what is faith? And faith really has, well, you can describe many ways, but it has knowledge. It's no use having faith in nothing or trust in nothing. It has knowledge. He's the Son of God. He came down to earth. He died on the cross for me. He fulfilled the law for me. That's the knowledge. But he couldn't know all that. But with that, I say, there's in faith, there's trust. Knowing that, I trust you, Lord. Now, do you trust him? Trust him with your soul. And even in the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil because he is with you. Peace with God. That's the grounds. So, peace I leave with you. And my peace I give unto you, the gift. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, that's one thing. The second is this, the gift of peace. The gift our Lord makes, the comparison. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Because you'll find many people say, well, I've got peace. I love my family. I love my parents. I love my children. I love my friends and so on. And it gives me a great feeling of well-being and of peace. That's true. It's a very commendable thing. Or another person might say, well, I have many hobbies and many interests in my work. I enjoy them all. And it gives me peace. And to deny that there is no peace in those things would be very foolish indeed. Because there is a measure of peace. But how long will they last? Our children grow up and go their ways. Our parents grow older and die. And our friends, well, they can be very changeable and leave us, you know. And all these other things that we had, the pleasures we once enjoyed, with age coming on, we no longer enjoy them or are interested in them. So really, the peace that they afford is temporary. It's real, but it is temporary. And to say there's nothing in it would be foolish, really, not really fair. There is a temporary peace, but not a lasting one. We're talking about a permanent peace that will see me through loneliness and heartbreak and illness and bereavements and sorrows and death itself. Something that, however commendable these others may be, they can't do it. Our friend can say, well, I can't give you that peace. Our parents say, I can't give you that peace. I can't. You must get that for yourself from Christ. So you come to him. I trust you, Lord. The world may give outward pleasures, physical rest and enjoyment, honor and wealth, but never that inner assurance, which is a reflection of the smile of in the heart of his child. There can be nothing compared. One is temporary and the other is eternally. Now then, let me stay there for a minute. Have you got that peace? When you're troubled, and we are sometimes, do you avail yourself of that peace? He becomes our peace. Objectively, it is peace with God in Christ, my eternal destiny. Subjectively, it's now practical in my life. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, that's in the Philippian epistle. And he puts it like this. This peace, says Paul there, and the peace of God, not any old peace, not your friends or your relatives or whatever, but the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What does that mean? It means, well, it's beyond our comprehension. It's so powerful. And it goes so deep into our hearts and our souls. And we know, how can I be at peace in such a situation? How can I be at peace? And yet this peace passeth all understanding. What will it do? Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's look at minds. The word is, it garrisons your mind from all distress and all evil influence. It looks after your thinking, which could be a turmoil. In our minds, there can be a war going on. Sometimes our minds can be shouting so loud, we can't hear the other speaker. Am I right? It can be so loud, just thinking about that. He said, well, no, I'll give you peace. You'll be quiet there. I'll garrison it for you. And your heart and your emotions that can be in a turmoil, and you're trembling, and you're feeling so distressed regarding something or another. And then you look to him, and he comes to your heart, and he says, still. Be still and know that I am God. So he stills these two very active areas, my mind, my emotions. What is that, the peace of God? Well, this is beyond understanding. Of course it is. It is divine. It is supernatural, but able to do it. As one hymn puts it like this, I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. It's very lovely. It says, everlasting peace. It doesn't fade. Sure as Jehovah's name, 'tis stable as his steadfast throne, forevermore the same. Just think, so variable things in this world, so many things. When I look back, how many changes have been. Things that I thought I could depend on, they're gone, you know. But this is forevermore the same. The clouds may come and go, and they do. The storms may sweep my sky. And I have, and you have probably had many a storm. This blood sealed friendship changes not. The cross is ever nigh. My love is oft-times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same. No change Jehovah knows. That's remarkable. No change Jehovah knows. I change. He changes not. The Christ can never die. His love, not mine, the resting place. His truth, not mine, the tie. Notice, what do I lean on? His truth, his promise, his legacy, his peace, the resting place. Now then, we can go on as Christians and neglect it and allow our minds to go into a turmoil and our hearts to go into a tempest. We can allow that until we say, now stop it. You know what to do. You know what to do. All you have to do is avail yourself of that which is yours. You have a legacy. You've been left a great deal. Something that the world could never give you, only very temporary measure. You can have somebody to come and comfort you, you know, but not this. Listen to this. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. You know, look at that. To multiply trials, and they do multiply, what shall I have? His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Now, how much will he give me? His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. I'm remembering now an illustration, a real one, from my second church, and how I didn't avail myself of the abundance. And it was a strange one, really. There was a little lady, and she never went out. And she was very wealthy, but she kept her money in her house. It was everywhere. Every drawer you open, there was money. A pension was just put into another jar. Everything, you know, everything was full of money. And I'd left the church now, but I went back for her funeral. And she had one relative, a nephew. And he was quite well off as well. And he said like this to me, "Auntie, would have liked you to have something." And the usual Welsh way, "Oh, no, no, no," you know. We argue like that, and we mean yes, you know. And that's how we do it. And I said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I never take anything. And I don't, you see." And I went on, and he said, "Oh, but you must." And he went halfway into his... He said, she had such a lot of money. I know, he said, it was all over the place. I said, you know. And he sat, just let me see the tip of his wallet like that. Just the tip, you know. And I said, "No, not really. Are you sure?" And back he went. And I hadn't got much money then, and I just managed to pay the petrol to get there, you know. And I thought, well, out of that abundance, I got nothing. Nothing at all. And I could have had. I could have. But God's not like that. He takes his wallet out and says, "Have as much as you want. Have as much as you need. Go on now. Go on, have some more. I'll give you more grace. I'll give you more peace. I'll give you more help." Now then, isn't it silly to say, "Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. You know, I don't want it. I'm all right. I'm all right." Well, you're stopping him. And he wants to give. And he wants to help. He desires to do that. Now then, the last, the grace of peace. The favor and kindness of Christ's peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, it's a lovely verse. Life itself and its uncertainties, we're not sure of today, are we? We're not sure of tomorrow. And anxieties, I'm inclined to be a worrier, I'm sure many of you are as well. And anxieties, and they can take a grip of you. We have them. And life itself, in its uncertainties. Indeed, I find watching the news now, I can't watch it too often because there seems to be nothing but trials and sorrows and murders and I don't know what altogether. And so you can hardly feel much better after watching the thing. Uncertainties of the future of the world even. Many circumstances and anxious moments. And death, the great reality. And we find, I think out of all the friends I've known, from my earlier years, only one is left. You know, it's a very sobering thought. Very sobering. The elders of my first church have all gone. The elders of my second church have all gone. The elders when I went to my third church have all gone. You know, and it makes you realize they're not there forever. And I'm not here forever. Then there's a reality of death. We will die. We will die. And we do not know when. Now then, in Hebrews 2, verse 15, there's a lovely promise there. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Some people say, fear of that all the time. I say, why are you afraid? If you know my son, if you believe in him, I can give you peace that when that comes, you need not be afraid. I can deliver you from that fear and give you peace. When something overwhelms us, this is the grace of peace. So he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Come on now. "Neither let it be afraid." You know, he shares that promise with us. And then he says something very lovely at the beginning of the chapter. He says, "Shall I tell you something? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." That is, I don't lie. Well, what does it mean, in my Father's house? Can there be mansions? What he's saying, it's homely and it's palatial. Of course it's palatial. And it's homely. It's there. Well, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So where I am, there you may be also. That's what I want. I want you, when you come home, to come to me. I go to prepare a place for you. And how does he do it? via Calvary, by clearing our debts, by making peace with God, so that when we die, we are taken to him. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now then, how are you this morning? How are you? How is your soul? Have you got peace with God? That you know that the big account is settled, your sins are forgiven, that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you trust him. Do you trust him also for this gift? This gift that you need not be troubled, that you need not be afraid. It's a legacy, it's a gift, it's for you. And you can say, well, I have a, he's left it to me, it's for me, it is mine. So when God gives it, you're only taking really what he's already given you. It is yours. And it's a wonderful thing to have. So I'm asking you, my friends, gently, are you at peace? Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace in your life? Are you at peace in your heart? Are you at peace in your soul? You know, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Not like that, although it's good. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now shall we pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we're able to come to thee in our Saviour's name, and we worship thee and praise thee and ask thy blessing upon us. We all need thee, Father. Maybe there are many, many different needs, and then there always are different needs and different degrees of needs as well in our circumstances, in our lives, and all sorts of situations for our children, for our parents, so many things in our minds. Yet we can be at peace, and we can trust our anxieties and our worries to thee and leave them there. We can cast our burden upon the Lord, for he careth for us. Bless us, Lord, everyone, from the youngest to the eldest here, for thy name's sake. Amen.